heavenly sunlight flooding my soul. Jesus is mine. We just sang. Is that happening for you in your life? And honestly, that song actually summed up much of what I was going to share with this morning, share with you, but I will go ahead and share it again. We greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Trust you had a good night's rest and are prepared for another day. I realize sometimes as we go through life and the week continues on later, that we start feeling a little bit sleepier in the morning. And so singing a song about walking in sunlight on a Thursday morning, sometimes we're starting just to drag a little bit in the week. But I want to encourage you to press onward and look upward. I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 27. As I was pondering what to share here this morning, there was a word and a phrase going through my mind on a subject that faces humanity from time to time. I went searching for it, found it in several passages, and one of those instances is here in Psalm 27. The word that has been going through my mind is courage. Courage. And the phrase is be of good courage. And so for the title, it is simply just that, be of good courage. Let's read here in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I don't know how you find life. I don't know how life has been going for you. Many of you I don't know very well. But I expect that if we would just step back and evaluate the past year and be honest with ourselves, I expect many of us have faced discouragement or at least a temptation to be discouraged about whatever the situation was. Life is real. The things in life that face us, those things are real, and they bring much reality with them. There's stresses, there's strains, there's challenges, there's disappointments, there's temptations, there's at times relationships that are broken. There's dreams that go unmet. There's sicknesses. There's terminal sicknesses. And there's even death itself. And I realize this morning that some of you are facing that in a real way. Sooner or later in life, all of us will find our courage being tested. David here seems to understand this thing, and he tells us to be of good courage. What is he saying? What should we be doing? How can we be courageous when any courage that we thought we might have has kind of sifted through our hand, like when you grasp a handful of sand and you're going to hang on to it, and the harder you hang on to it, it just drains right out and you're left with basically an empty hand. Just a brief outline for the message here. I would like to look at what is courage, building courage, and then some examples of courage here this morning. So first of all, what is courage? In the Hebrew dictionary, we would get this thought, to fasten up, hence to seize, to be strong. That is the thought of courage here. And truly, at times when we lack courage, things do seem unfastened. They seem loose, not very strong. But courage is the opposite of that. Courage is to be fastened upon, to be strong. He talks about strength of heart in verse 14. Or we could say strength in our inner man. The question is, what are we fastened to for that strength? We could look at the opposite side as we try to understand what courage is. We could look at the opposite side and look at discourage. And that's kind of a dark picture. But it's to be deprived of courage or confidence. And this is when we face a vacuum in our courage. This is when our mental strength is low, the strength of our heart. And the problem is greater than what we view as our ability. And from that viewpoint, we say it's not worth trying. And we're discouraged. We lack strength of heart. Courage is so very positive. So many difficult things can be overcome by good courage. Many times a word of encouragement from a courageous brother or sister goes a long way in giving us courage to face our own responsibilities. And may I just insert there, give a word of encouragement when you have opportunity. It will cost you little, but the result to the recipient could be exponential. Discouragement is very negative. It can suck the strength right out of us. And it can keep us from moving forward. Discouragement is one of the billy clubs of the devil. If he can get us discouraged about anything, he can keep us from moving forward effectively in our Christian lives. He will try to discourage us, to keep us from growing in the fear of God. And therefore, it is of utmost importance that we are courageous. But how do we, as God's people, how do we grow in courage? How do we build courage despite obstacles that are certain to arise? How do we do that? So let's move to our thoughts on building courage. We're thinking about a building, and I'm a builder by trade. And I think about a building, and where do we begin building? We begin all the way down with the foundation. We need to make sure that the foundation is solid. What is the foundation for courage for the Christian? Keep in mind that the foundation of a building is down underneath. We don't look at the foundation typically in the building when we're using it, when we see it taking its role in life, we might say. But we do see the result when the foundation has failed and the building begins to settle and things begin to crack and crumble. Not good things happen. And so what is our foundation as Christians? Some people, by nature, tend to, we might say, be more courageous or adventurous. Maybe you would find it easier to decide to go to Haiti to serve, where there's who knows what all, snakes and roaches and things. You might find that easier than for me to make a decision to go. And we have personal inclinations like that. And that is okay. But I believe the Lord wants all of us to grow in courage, regardless of our personal inclinations. And so I'm not here to tell you about some psychological or mental process by which you can pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, so to speak. But as I was studying and considering what the foundation of good courage is, I realized that there was one main thread that was woven through every step, every example, every word of encouragement to the Christian, and it is this. It is the Lord. If the Lord is not our foundation for courage, then what is? Is it not ourself? If self is our foundation for courage, our foundation will fail under the call of God. God calls us to die to ourself, not to establish ourself as a foundation. A foundation of self will bring us to discouragement. For the Christian, the Lord must be and will be the foundation of our courage. And so I went back to this chapter and I started looking, this psalm here, for points on how to build a good foundation, a foundation that we can be of good courage. And I pulled out 9 of them, and I will briefly go over them. The first one is in verse 1. He says, "The Lord is my light and salvation." We as followers of Christ must always keep it in our hearts and in our minds who saved us and who is our light. It is not ourself or our own ability or lack thereof. Proverbs 13, verse 9 says, "The light of the righteous rejoiceth." I see courage. "The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out." As the Lord is my light and my salvation, I can be of good courage. The second one is also in verse 1. And he says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." Who is the strength of your life? Isaiah 40, verse 30 through 31 says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Even you, young men, as you are in the strength of your life, you have much courage, much zeal, purpose. And yet this verse makes it clear that that courage is not automatically to the young at heart or the strong physically. Courage will be there for all those that wait upon the Lord. Courage to run and not get weary. Courage to walk and not faint. The Lord must be the strength of our life for us to be of good courage. Another one is in verse 4. The Lord is our desire. We have many desires. We tend to seek after what we desire. What do you desire this morning? In our class yesterday, we talked about direction of travel being of greater consequence than current position. And that simply means that if we had a board here and placed an X on it, is your trajectory up through the X still going upward? Or is it making a curve through the X and going downward, or is it a downward through the X? Direction of travel is of greater consequence than current position. What are your desires, and what direction are your desires taking you? Closer to the Lord or away from the Lord? Verse 7 is another one. Cry unto the Lord. He asks that the Lord would hear his cry, that he would have mercy upon him, that he would answer. Those are things that he's asking of the Lord. But what is our responsibility? What can we do to be of good courage? And I just simply say, cry unto the Lord. Tell the Lord all about it, every detail of it. Spare nothing. Tell him all of it and lay it out before him. God desires to hear our cry. God is very merciful, and he desires to answer and give us what he sees we need most. It's not always what we see, but he desires to give what he deems we need most. Let's cry unto the Lord. Another element of good courage, basis, is in verse 8. Seek the Lord. Deuteronomy 4, verse 29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Psalm 34, verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Seek the Lord. Make him your purpose in life. Verse 10, we have another one. He talks about our father and our mother forsaking us. And I trust that is not you this morning. But sometimes there are situations in life where it feels like others about us have forsaken us. And the foundational thought I want to give to you there is trust in the Lord. It can be so easy for us to trust in our own understanding and our own judgment of any given thing. We think we have a pretty good handle on things. We can figure it out ourselves. But the Bible instructs us very clearly on this matter of trusting the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Courageous. As we trust in the Lord, we will be safe, not necessarily always from physical harm, but safe in the care and providence of God. But this verse from Proverbs here brings up a very common snare to courage, and that snare is fear. Fear militates against good courage. Many times, we want to do what is right. We want to take courage. We want to do the will of God. But far too many times, we hold a fear about the situation at hand, and it causes us to lack trust and courage, and thereby we fall short in doing what God's will is for us. If you are tempted to fear, remember verses like this. Genesis 26, verse 24. The Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee. Another one in 2 Kings. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. We could go to each of those accounts and look at broader context, but for the sake of time, we won't. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 10 that the very hairs of our head are numbered. Did you do that this morning? Was that part of your preparation for the day? Did you subtract how many fell out yesterday and how many grew back in? And we smile at that. I don't at least consider trying to count. But you know what? Trust in the Lord. He knows how many you have. Let that be a point at which you take courage, that the Lord knows all about you, more about yourself than you do. Another element, foundation here for good courage is in verse 11. He asks that the Lord would teach me thy way. And I just say, be taught of the Lord. The Lord is a faithful teacher. The lessons he teaches come to us in the school of life. James talks about counting it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, diverse testings, things that are difficult. And he encourages us to be patient, to count it as joyful, because this working with us helps us grow. God working with us. Hebrews 12, verse 6 through 11 talks about, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he simply goes on to tell us that no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Do not resent the Lord's working in your life or his chastening. It is the mark of a son or a daughter as we receive chastening from the Lord. Jesus taught us by example to give up our all for the cause of the kingdom of God. Are you and I willing to simply grow in courage by allowing God to remove more of ourself? Rebelling at the Lord's lessons in the school of life will bring us to discouragement. Rather, we must be humble learners, developing good courage through the instruction of our Heavenly Father. Another element of good courage here is in verse 13. Believe in the Lord. When you are tested in the things of life, do you believe the Lord? Do you believe his promises to you? Believing in God is a choice of our will. When courage is tested, do we still believe in God and his promises in his word, or do those things only work on good days when the sun is shining? And it's easy to say we believe in the Lord. Another element in verse 14 of good courage is wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord has the implication not of sitting here twiddling our thumbs and wondering what we should do. Waiting here on the Lord has the implication that our eyes are fixed on the Lord, not the situation at hand. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord because we know that as we give him our all, he is fully able to do far more than I need, far more than I can think to ask. It is so easy for our eyes to be fixed on our situation, the situation at hand, and it becomes our focus instead of our focus being on the Lord. We must keep our eyes on the Lord. Just a couple examples of courage here. As we think about people who have gone on before and have served the Lord and have come through difficult circumstances and have continued on courageously. Moses, when he was transferring his leadership in Deuteronomy chapter 31 through 34, he was transferring his leadership to Joshua, and he says this, "Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." That was the premises on which Joshua was to have good courage to go into the land of Canaan and to fight the enemy. God would be with him. God would not fail him or forsake him. Another one in Joshua 14, verse 12, we have Caleb going to fight the Anakims. Caleb was one of the 12 spies that had gone into the land of Canaan to spy it out, and he saw this mountain where the Anakims lived. And after they had gone into Canaan and destroyed many of the enemies, Caleb came to Joshua and he said, "Joshua, do you remember way back? The Anakims, I would like that mountain." And this is what he says, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced." But notice his focus is not on the great and fenced cities. He says, "If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord has said." Good courage in the face of potentially difficult circumstances. David came to Goliath in the name of the Lord of hosts, and he won that conflict because he was looking to God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced a fiery furnace in Daniel 3. And they simply and fairly stood before the king there and told him, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." This was not something that God had necessarily done for these three men before. I don't know that he necessarily delivered them from fiery furnaces before this time. And yet their focus was on God. And when they met that fiery furnace, they said, "King, God is able. We don't know if he will, but we know he's able if he so chooses." And they stood with good courage. Are you convinced this morning that God is able despite how difficult you may deem your circumstances? God is able. The last one here is Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, struggling in prayer, grappling with the call of his Father. And he just says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And he tells the disciples, "Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let this difficult leave. It's hard. I really don't want it." But he doesn't end there. He says, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Courage was found in committing his will to his Father's will. And you remember after that prayer, he stood up, he said, "Let's be going." He was ready to go on and face what there was, difficult though the circumstances were. Young people this morning, my prayer is that not one of you would lose courage and give up. I am young, but from my short lifetime, I could tell you sad stories of young people that have given up courage, have lost courage. Most of these have responded like Peter did when he tried to walk on the water. Peter had good courage, and everything went well so long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, on Jesus. But as soon as his eyes went from the Lord to his personal perception of his circumstances, he began to sink. Keep your focus on the Lord, young people. And from that focus, respond to the things of life. Undoubtedly, there will be difficult things in life for you. There will be for all of us. Life is real. It brings with it real things. Keep your focus on the Lord. Don't ever give up. The Lord is faithful. In conclusion, I would like to read a bit from Psalm 31. If you are feeling discouraged, this is an excellent psalm. As we think about trusting in the Lord and committing ourselves to the Lord, we'll just break in at verse 19. Psalm 31, verse 19 says this, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." And certainly there is strife that happens by way of tongues. Verse 21, "Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee." And sometimes we speak in our haste and we feel like we've been cut off, but we actually are not. Let us not be too hasty. Verse 23, "O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." May God bless you as young people with good courage. May the Lord strengthen your heart. Don't give up. Press onward in the things of life. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning we come to you and thank you for loving us. Thank you for looking upon us and being a gracious and merciful Father to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and know that you have good and you have the right answers for every problem that we face in life. And Lord, the things of life sometimes are so difficult for us. We don't understand. We try to understand, and yet we can't sometimes. Help us to trust you and never give up. Would you bless these young people with good courage today, tomorrow, and when they go back home and face the reality and the scenes of life, may they be faithful wherever you call them. Would you direct our day? Would you bless the teachers as they stand before their classes, the administration as they lead out? May we work together for your name's honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.